This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey everyone, it's that time of year again. It's time for the nominations for the Best of Bears 2009. It's brought to you by Got Fur and the Complete Bear. Every year they have you vote for your favorites in many bear categories, but to start, they need your nominations for your favorites. This year's categories are Bear of the Year, Best Bear Website, Best Bear Blog or Podcast, Best Bear Porn Site, Best Bear Video, Best Bear Porn Star, Best Bear Business, Best Bear Publication, Best Bear Club or Organization, Best Bear Run, Best Bear Bar, Best Bear Fundraise, Best Bear Campsite or Combinations, Best Bear Resource, Best Bear Artist, and Best Bear Performer. Nominations are open until November 15th. After that, the voting will be open until December 31st. For information on how to send in your nominations, check out bit.ly/2009bears. And watch for the Cubs Out Loud special coverage of the final nominations in December and the winners in January. The 2009 Best of Bears nominations brought to you by Got Fur and the Complete Bear at bit.ly/2009bears.
All right, here we go.
Penis.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, this is Jack.
And this is Cookie.
On the Cubby House Podcast, episode number 22, the Scruples Special.
And introducing one of the most challenging minds I've ever come across is our guest today, Mr. Fabulous, Dean Arcuri.
Hey, how are we doing?
But we've got an action-packed episode today. And it is indeed, as I said before, the Scruples Special. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Scruples is a game that's been around for donkey's years, where you present your peers with a series of hypothetical situations, and you've got to try and guess how they would try and act in that hypothetical situation. So we'll be sharing some of those throughout the program today. And
we've also got What Do We Learn This Week, of course, is our currently regular segment. We've also got a few news items worthy of discussion. One in a school in Victoria, of course, a boy was called faggot by a teacher, as the headlines read. So we're going to talk about that one, and the Lynx In effect. How a guy in India is suing Lynx for the inapplication of what they claim will happen. So we'll talk about that, as well as what Jack will not do for money. This I have to see.
All this and more on the Cubby House Podcast, episode number 22. Nice to have you in the studio today, Mr. Dean Arcuri.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand that you're a performer.
I am. I do a lot of different things, really. I perform around. I do a bit of singing, a bit of dancing, a bit of comedy, pretty much whatever
now,
people
will
come and see me do.
With your clothes on or off?
Oh, it all depends, really.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It depends on how much they'll pay me.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So tell me about a couple of your last shows.
I just did one for the Melbourne Leather Festival. It was my camarade to Sir with Love.
You see, they're either in denial or they just haven't met me yet. On a cloudy day, when it's cold outside, I shop at Chapel Street all day. I guess you'd say, what can make me seem so gay? Genetics. Talking about genetics. Research tells us that everything is mapped out for us, from the way we sound, to the way we look, even the way we smell. So according to that, the fact that I like a bit of guy on guy, well, it's all predetermined, isn't it? Let's take some of the pressure off, doesn't it? I've got so much beauty, all you bitches envy me. I've got the sweetest lips. I can make you seem so good. It could be the fact that I lumped up the pooper.
That was marvellous. I shed a tear right there.
Beautiful.
I think it was a tear.
Oh.
Where did tears come out?
which eye? One of the two or one of the one?
Which end, really? Crazy.
And what was the gist of that show?
That was, I just wanted to do a fun show, and fetishes are fun and easy, and there's lots of songs that you can mix into when it comes to fetishes. And it was just a meeting of the Melbourne United Fetish Friends, or MUF for short. And they're local, the first meeting of the Melbourne United Fetish Friends, where everyone was getting up and talking about all those dirty little secrets that they're into and singing a song or two.
I actually saw that show on its opening night during the Melbourne Fetish Festival. I actually had the gall to go up and spank him on stage. But he asked for it. He really did.
I was asking for it, and no one was doing it. And then when I'd moved on, Jack suddenly runs on up and tries to spank me, and it wasn't very hard. You've got to work on that.
Oh. The moment was past.
Yeah. The moment was past. You tried to seize it, but it was done. I was singing Hanky Panky, and I was begging in a very, very, very bad French accent. And I was begging someone to spank me, and no one would get up. And then I just moved on, and suddenly Jack's just running up to the stage with his little hand.
Mom, I don't have little hands.
They're not that little, really. They're quite big. Just got to get more thrust.
So what about before then?
In the Melbourne Comedy Festival this year, I did a stalker show called Memoirs of a Stalker, where I had, the general gist of the show was, it was a self-help group for stalkers, and I was trying to flog as much stuff like a Demtel commercial as I could, and it turns out I'd actually locked the love of my life up in my basement. No, my biggest fan was locked up in my basement, and I was keeping them there and having sex with them while they were dead.
Right.
I like to freak people out a little bit here and there. That was fun. Mm. But my biggest fan was actually my head on a woman's body. Yeah, creepy.
Also, I remember during To Sir With Love that you were serenading Mr. David Kosh. Is that right?
Yes. There was a great character, April. She was a housewife that loved to masturbate while she watched Sunrise. And she would, and they're in an apron with a picture of Koshy singing I Touch Myself.
Can you give me a bit of a sample of that?
I touch myself and I like to love me. When I'm lying down, I think of Koshy above me. I search myself and I work hard to find me. I forget myself, but Koshy reminds me. There you go.
Bravo. Yay. Bravo. Also, you've been helping us out with the Cubby House podcast debates, which, might I add, you've won twice.
I know. It's great.
I've lost one. Did you win or did you?
I was part of the winning team on that particular debate. Mm-hmm. But the challenge will be, can you win a third coming up?
Of course I can win a third. Of course I can.
Yes, well, it's a different venue and it might be a different topic a tad out of your scope. Am I right?
Oh, bring it on, quite frankly. Bring it on.
For those who would like to be there, it is part of the Midsummer Festival this year.
Did we actually book that in with the officially?
Yes.
It's in?
It's in.
Good.
Yay. It's in. It'll be at the Glasshouse on the 31st of January, and the topic is We Should Stand by Our Queens.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm. Okay, certain topics I've made in past debates could come back to haunt me.
Yes, exactly. So this will be an interesting one for you.
Brilliant.
So how long have you been involved with the bear scene?
I've pretty much been flitting around with it for a couple of years since I came back from the UK and always just been jumping in, going to the Laird a lot or whenever hibernation's on, going and checking out everything that's going on and really been more since you guys have gotten me involved with the Cubby House have I really learnt how much of a bear scene there is in Melbourne and have kind of been jumping along to all the things and seeing what's going on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your fault.
I like to think that the Cubby House is having an educative role in people's lives, that we reach through people's headphones and grab onto their brains and don't let go. Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you guys see Memoirs of a Stalker?
At any rate, I think it's about time for our first Scruples questions. Round one!
Let's begin.
Welcome to the first Scruples round. It's pretty simple. We've all got cards of hypothetical situations in our hands, and you've got to answer as honestly as you can. Think of it like an etiquette section, I suppose. Alright. Your miniature chihuahua is floating face down in the bathtub. His little heart is still beating. Do you apply mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
I take issue to the fact that I have a miniature chihuahua. Surely I'd have a pug or something, I don't know. Yes, of course you would.
Yes.
Your dog is dying, of course you would.
Hell,
it'd be gross.
It licks you often enough as it is. Is there any further to that?
I know, but it's like tonguing your dog. Like, it's freaky. The visual I'm a bit freaked out by. But still, you'd do it.
Now, the question to you, listener, is would you do a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on your miniature chihuahua? Or would you just trade it in for a bigger, more butch dog?
When I really think about it, for the number of places my mouth has been, a dog would be fine.
All right, Cookie, your turn.
My question to you both is, browsing in an adult store at lunch, you witness a colleague buying a large inflatable doll. Do you mention it to your co-workers?
Nah.
Of course!
You unscrupulous person.
Totally.
Keep it to yourself.
Damn, no way.
I suppose it depends on what type of doll that it was. If it was like an inflatable chihuahua dog, which you could apply mouth to mouth to.
Then it would be fine.
Then it would be fine.
I'd totally be telling, well, yeah, no, I'd be telling everyone.
All right, I believe you've got one.
Yes. You see your male boss in a dress at a transvestite bar. Do you use it against him at pay review time?
I don't think that I'd bring it up, but I think that he'd make sure that I knew he was there, and I could just give him a look. And whenever I gave him that look, he'd know. So if he ever tried to say that he's using it against me, I could go, what? I haven't done anything. Wow.
Yeah. I totally use it against him.
Mm. I'm with Jack on that one. I think it's a leverage device, but not necessarily review time.
What you need to do is to get a camera phone and take a few goddamn photographs. If you don't have any primary evidence, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, as long as you don't mind telling everyone as well that you're in a transvestite bar as well. Like, that's, I think, the funny thing I think about this scruple, is you've seen him in a transvestite bar, which you're drinking in.
Well, it depends on who your boss is. I mean, if your boss is, like, the owner of the transvestite bar, then it doesn't really mean anything.
That's true.
And that's the end of round one of the Scruples game. Thank you very much. Now, on to our next topic. Penis.
Penis.
A weird thing happened last night when I went to take a leak. My husband was lying there in his glorious physique. I said, what on earth are you doing on the restroom floor? He said, don't ask stupid questions. Just piss on me some more. Piss on me, you whore. And I'll never forget the way he looked lying there. Oh, no way. I said I'd do anything for love.
What did we learn this week? Well, Dean, what did you learn this week? Or this month? It's been a long time since our last podcast, but you've never been on the podcast.
No.
So what did you learn over your entire lifetime?
Of my entire life, what have I learned? Man.
Too much? Okay.
No, I'm just... my lifetime's too big. Okay, I've got to narrow it down.
Narrow it down. All right. What have you learned since the last debate?
Since the last debate, to actually practice my debate with a time period fixed in so that I don't rush it all in a very short amount of time. Okay, what have I learned? That you get teased a lot if you dress up like a rabbit on Halloween and walk down Brunswick and Smith Street.
What were they saying?
People thought I was retarded. Like, see, it was the end of the night. I went to my friend's birthday. It was a Mad Hatter's tea party. I went as the rabbit and I had little blue shorts on, little bunny tail, blue footy socks, blue bond singlet with a little bow tie on it and bunny ears and a painted face. And I was wrecked, so I left the party and went, cool, sweet. Was trying to get a cab, and the number of people that thought I was a retarded person and were telling me that I was really special and that I was going to go do really well in life and that things were good and helped me get into a cab. And I was just like, thanks, this is great. Like, I really appreciate it. And it wasn't until afterwards that the cab driver was like, you know, they thought you were retarded. I'm like, oh.
It could be that you were drunk as well.
I wasn't that drunk, really. It was weird. Like, they're very cute blue shorts, though. So, you know, no one wanted to come home with me. What can I do?
What have I learnt this week? Well, actually, this week, or should I say this morning, I decided to try the Elvis sandwich. Now, in Ooh. the In this podcast, we talk about some of our peculiar food combinations, like bacon and maple syrup, which works great.
No.
Yeah.
This, no.
No, it does.
No.
You're right, as long as the bacon's crispy.
As long as the bacon's crispy. But this time, this also includes bacon. The Elvis sandwich, the sandwich was Elvis, the king was famous for, was two pieces of bread, white bread, buttered both sides. And on one piece of the bread, you've got smooshed up banana. Just a plain old banana smooshed up and spread, and on the other slice of bread you've got peanut butter, and in the middle you put a slice of bacon. And what you do is that you fry it on a skillet, maybe in the bacon fat which you've used to cook the bacon, and then you cut it diagonally and eat it when it's cooked. And might I add that I felt queasy afterwards.
I felt queasy just hearing about that.
Yeah, no bloody wonder he died at such a young age.
Well, apparently Elvis would sit down and eat like 13 of these sandwiches in the one sitting.
Well, that explains why he got so fat.
And I was feeling queasy after two.
You had two?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I decided that for lunch, instead of having the pizza like Dean and Cookie here, I would just have half a cantaloupe and three strawberries. So I kind of feel as though my karma is kind of realigning now.
I don't know.
I've got the positive and I've got the negative, but don't do it. It might sound, ooh, an experiment. Let's give it a shot. Just don't. So, Cookie.
Okay. I've come up with the one a few events I'm going to sum up. What I've learned this week is recognizing and trying to understand ways of living with disappointment.
Aww. Let me just get my world's smallest violin out.
Oh, no, you're going to love these stories. The first one, all right, everybody's probably had before. You've invited a whole heap of people to a party. They've all said they're going to come, yet only a few rock up on the day. You kind of wonder, what happened to the other 5 or 10 other people that said they were coming? Didn't even send you a message saying they're not up to it, they're not feeling well, or whatever else. And that's even if I got that, I'd be happy, because at least they've done the courtesy of letting me know, so I'm not waiting up all hours to stand around for them. So that was one thing. The other one, which a lovely man being here, was pari to last night.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the underwear party at the Laird Hotel, and as sometimes happens, people get very physically frivolous.
Randy.
Yes. Well, Randy.
Horny.
Yes.
Horny.
Now, what had kind of been spoken earlier in the night is I was going to go with two other guys off back to their place. Well, as the night progressed, I was kind of getting tired waiting for them. They just decided to do it by themselves. Didn't even invite me into it, whatnot, and just completely ignored me. I was cock-blocked. Not happy, considering there'd been an agreement beforehand. So, of course, Dean came up to me and said the lovely words, "You've got a minute and a half to get over your melancholy, then get over it." Thank you very much. It worked.
That's fine.
It did.
He was not in a happy place and surrounded by guys in underwear. Come on. He should have been in a happy place.
I should have, but I wasn't. I don't know if it was because I was tired and just not getting any attention.
Maybe if it was butt naked at Circuit or nude at Club 80, then maybe you would have been happier.
Yeah, perhaps.
There's something about dingle dangling that always seems to fascinate me.
How early did you make the plans, though? Like, at somewhere like there, like, if you make plans at, like, 8:30 at night and then it's suddenly 11 o'clock, anything can change. Though, as bad as it is, I do love that word, cockblock.
Yes.
It just sounds cool.
The good thing was, and I find this very funny, the way it turned out was another guy who'd kind of been coming in and out and around was playing with the fourth guy who was standing around in the group that I was hanging around with. His partner walked across and, again, saw what was going on, and I've turned around to him and just made mention that nice of them to invite us, eh? In the end, he turned around and took me around the corner. So I got me happy
ending. Problem solved.
Yeah, I got my happy ending, but
happy
still.
Happy ending.
It's kind of frustrating getting cock-blocked like that.
I think it's just part of party planning. Like, you always should really invite more people than you really intend to.
You mean in a cock-block, like, sex situation,
no,
or you mean
no,
in a party?
No, I mean, like, the party.
The original one, the party.
The first thing you were talking about.
I'm with you on that, though. That really... The issue isn't that you invite more people that show up. It's that they say they're going to show up, and then they don't. That's really irritating.
Who's going to eat the fondue now?
Exactly. You're left with all these elder sandwiches. What can you do?
And, like, it's fine. You can kind of get over it if somebody says, you know, they're not feeling well, or they've been called into work, or they've made other plans.
Washing my hair.
Yeah. Whatever the excuse, it's nice to be told, just not left in the lurch.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. This is what we have learned this week. We have learned, don't dress like a rabbit and go down Smith Street. People are going to think you're retarded.
Unless you want to be cared for and taken care of like that, yes.
That would have been nice.
Don't eat the Elvis sandwich. It will make you sick. And if you're going to Cookie's party and have RSVP'd, yes, you'd better damn well go.
And don't cockblock Cookie. No one puts Cookie in a corner.
Unless it's with a lot of lube.
Yeah, or with much restraint.
Cockblocking Cookie is a lot like Oprah, getting in the way of Oprah and something that's fatty and chocolatey.
You're just asking for trouble.
Just asking for trouble.
Scruples, round two.
Round two.
My first question for you both is, your spouse offers to let you have an affair if they can.
Do you accept the offer?
No, just to piss them off.
What if it was like Brad Pitt or something like that?
Really?
Generally,
I don't understand the whole attraction to Brad Pitt.
All right.
Monogamous straight relationships kind of have the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie clause.
Okay, but if we were going out and then I said, you could totally sleep with someone else, it's because, as long as I can too, it's because I've clearly got someone already set in my sights. Hmm. So you've got to have someone lined up already. It's the power play of the relationship.
Power play and guilt trip?
Yeah, completely. So then I would give them the green light, but only after a certain amount of guilting, so that even when they got off, they'd still be feeling bad, so then I'd still win. I'm fucked up, I know.
What about you, Jack?
What would I do? I think that this is pretty much a way of kind of moving into kind of an open relationship kind of territory, that when you kind of establish a precedent, then it can kind of, they can kind of expand from there on in. So I think it really depends on the nature of the relationship that I have with the person. That's a depends. That if I'm having an intimate friendship with someone, then generally go for your life. But if I'm like, oh my god, this is true romance, we're gonna get married in like 2 weeks because I've only met him for a month, but it's true love.
Like gay true love.
Like gay true love. Forever and ever until I get bored.
Yeah.
Then maybe I might feel a little bit differently.
What about you?
Generally, you've got to wait at least 3 weeks into true ultimate love until you can start playing around with other people.
That's the rule. It's only a 3-week period.
Right.
Fair enough.
We go through relationships like condoms.
I think I've had...
They break.
I don't think I'd ever get to the point of having to ask that question, because part of the condition I would have as a relationship is the option to play around with prior consent.
I've never gotten that. I've never understood it. I don't.
Probably for that reason alone is, if I find somebody who I really, really like and I click with very well intellectually, there's probably going to be an element of sexuality that they may not enjoy that I really get off on, such as, you know, depending on level of kink or a different style or mixing it up a bit. I don't think I could completely have a monogamous relationship with somebody on those levels.
Yeah, I've been in a relationship before where he wasn't into, aside from straight vanilla sex, wasn't into anything else that I enjoyed doing. And the problem was constantly that he kept trying to be. And I was like, it's cool if you're not. It doesn't matter. I have porn. It's fine. That's what porn is for. I don't know. Until I've been in a really decent relationship, I can't really comment.
No, it's all right.
Okay, you are in the army.
Nice.
Right, I can't believe it either. You know, some of your colleagues are inflicting corporal punishment on new recruits. Do you tell your commanding officer?
Hell no, I line up. That's it. That's my answer. Like, I get in line and go, I'm new.
I do some push-ups in the mud.
That's a hard one, because if it, instead of being army, if it was tradesman, and it's the whole tradesman apprentice thing, yeah, I don't know. I'm always like, I treat the apprentices the way I would have rather been treated. So, yeah, probably would.
Personally, I think it really depends on the culture. I mean, I don't know if the military actually has a culture of hazing its new recruits.
It does.
It does?
Yeah.
Wow. It strengthens people up.
Well, let's hope that for the army.
That it's probably something that the army already knows and probably doesn't really all that care about. And if you were to put in a complaint, maybe they might do something.
And then you'd be labelled a squealer.
Squealer.
Like, really, in that kind of a situation, in
squealer.
The army.
Squealer.
You don't want to be the dobber.
Mm. Dipper dobbers.
The dipper dobber. Totally. Well.
Hence why I've never considered joining the army.
That's exactly the reason why, because so you wouldn't have to tell on people when they spank other people. Oh, my turn. Your 14-year-old son asks you to rent a Playboy video for him.
Do you?
Well, if I haven't already had the birds and bees talk, I'd probably say, no, we're going through this first and do an initiation. And then if I was to rent it, I'd probably sit there with him. Not do anything with him, but just supervise and monitor. Be the responsible parent.
Now, as a feminist...
Watch porn with your child. Be the responsible parent. The family that watches porn together stays together.
Oh.
I thought they actually made that illegal, that if you show your kids pornography before a certain age, that's actually considered a type of sex abuse.
So how does sexual education
so
work?
So if they walk in on you having sex, have you sex abused your child?
No, but that wasn't deliberate. You didn't order your child to stand there while you were having sex. That just happened...
accidentally.
Just happened accidentally.
So would you get him a video?
Yeah. Generally, Playboy videos probably are going to be pretty tame. That, as a feminist myself, I have a few gripes about pornography and how women are portrayed, whether it's kind of in a mutual enjoyment way or in an ultra-exploitation way, that I would probably feel more comfortable with a Playboy video than, say, something that could be downloaded off the internet.
The softcore.
Mm. That might not be the most positive image, but I probably would do it.
He's 14 years old. Your son is 14-year-old, and you'd go, yeah, we'll get him porn.
Well, 14. I mean, you were looking at porn when you were 14, weren't you?
I was doing a lot worse than that when I was 14.
Damn right.
I know, when I was 14, I already had the whole birds and the bees, and this is how your body works thing.
We never had that talk. We had the whole going to, at school, they did a really big group thing where a woman came and talked about dicks, ejaculation, vaginas, and everyone was there with their parents.
Yes.
The whole year level.
Yes, I
had the most ridiculous thing to ever possibly do. And that's how you learn about sex, while you're sitting next to your parents and you've got all your school friends around you, and hi, there's that hot teacher, and da-da-da-da-da, ridiculous.
Don't worry, the parents are only there so they can take notes and complain to the principal of anything later on. Actually, I remember when we had the puberty talk when I was, must have been about 11, the woman who was giving a talk with her diagrams of the body on the whiteboard, it's like, the man's voice gets deeper when it grows older. What happens to the woman's voice? My dad next to me cries out, it gets louder!
That's great. I wouldn't rent him a Playboy video. I would just give him one of mine.
Well, sure you'd like that kind of thing?
Well, my fault. He's probably found them before. What are you going to do?
I mean, I was looking through my dad's picture magazines at 14, so...
Thanks, Dad.
But only for, like, the homeboy section. That was the only part that was good.
I really enjoy, like, you know when Maya would bring out the came out the catalogs and they'd be the guys in their underwear or the sports gear, and that, I was just happy right there. Thanks, Target. Free porn.
That's kind of like the Bras and Things magazine. Just a catalog of tits.
Yeah.
Jeez, I was naive.
It's the piss of death from Mr. Golden Shower. Pretty girl, beware of his streams of gold. That gold's not gold.
Last week, that would have happened to have been the 28th of October, the 29th.
Correct.
29th of October. All the bears a lot of bears went into the woods privately, into a retreat where they could be alone, together. That was called Grampians. How was it, Cookie?
Once again, it was not the sex fest it quite often is alluded
to. If you go down to the woods today, you'd better be...
get a big surprise.
You get a big surprise.
Yes, a lot of people sitting playing board games for hours on end.
See, I would love that.
That's fine, but yeah, after an hour or two, everybody got bored, but they just had to finish the game.
What were the game?
It obviously wasn't Scruples.
No, Scruples would have been brilliant. Sexual Scruples, imagine that.
Arkham Horror was one of the big ones.
That one goes forever.
Yes, and Battlestar Galactica.
That one goes for even longer.
Exactly.
What about Monopoly or...
No, that's tame for their tastes.
Oh, God.
So between that, swimming in the pool, and ironically, guys bought the laptops, plugged it into the projector, and watched Glee.
Hey.
Don't roll your eyes. I love Glee.
I know, so do I.
Okay,
but
cool.
It's kind of like you're supposed to be getting away from technology, as I keep getting told.
Now, this is something that you were telling me in the car. You were pissed because you couldn't get internet connection for World of Warcraft.
Says Mr. Get Away From Technology.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was all in my mentality, I think. I'd come from a 10-hour day at work, then a 3.5-hour drive out there. I just was not relaxed until, like, Monday morning. morning, which we were coming home. That and I was just obnoxiously randy. It was just that time of the month for me, and it was frustrating because, once again, people had made insinuations to do things and didn't follow through. So,
you've got to be more forceful. No, this cockblock pity, I'm not giving it.
No, that's fine. I agree. It's going to get to the point where I'm going to rape them if they don't follow through soon.
If they're not going to follow through, you make them.
Yeah.
You grab them by the collar and go, I've got something to put in you. I've got something to put in you.
No, it's the other way around, dude.
You've got something to put in me.
Oh, yes.
You've got something to put in
me. But I have to admit, the time that I did spend there, I did the one thing I was really looking forward to, and that was archery. My second shot, I got the bullseye.
Yay.
I loved it. I loved it. So, yes, big, big thanks to Marie and Dennis, who are the owners of the Grampians Retreat. And also a big thank you to all the boys that came down and made it what it was. Like, all right, I may not have been in the best of mental stability moods, but it was really nice and very relaxed and whatnot for those that did go and really make it worthwhile.
Everyone's Facebook statuses say they had a great time.
I know, it's amazing. Group shot, which I took, came out really nice. When we had the campfire on the Sunday night, it was like a cloudy moon. It was one of those shots you could just take out of a pagan kind of around the campfire sort of thing.
Or the Blair Witch Project. Or some horror film where there's somebody with a knife just waiting in the bushes. Wait, that was you. Only without the knife.
Yes, you didn't see the other edge of it. It was a dildo.
There are worse things to be stabbed with.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, it was, for what it was worth, it was a really nice weekend away, and we even had a couple of Sydney siders come down and enjoy it with us. They were really nice.
Awesome.
Really, really, really nice.
As in om nom nom kind of nice?
For what I saw, yes.
Right. I'm not going to push that one.
No.
Because I know that people listen to this podcast. Not many.
No, but...
but enough.
There's a few... there's enough photos from the pool. That's just... yeah, that was really nice. The pool.
Must look at those.
Did you actually go into town? Go into Toy World?
No, actually. I kind of gotten there just after they'd gotten back from doing that. But one of the guys bought this huge bear. I think if you were to stand it from head to toe, it would be close on 6 foot, just this stuffed bear. And we actually bought it to keep at the lodge.
Well, that was nice. Yes. I should have gone.
You would have had so much fun.
But I wasn't there for a very valid reason, which we'll get to a bit later on.
What was his name?
I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. Who do you think I am?
As he opens the door, I roll over, pretend to sleep as he looks me over. I lie and say,
it's time for round three of the Scruples game. Who's winning so far? Oh, wait, everyone's a winner with the Scruples game.
Yay.
Because you get to find out all your partner's dirty little secrets and use it against them later on.
Cubby House Scruples begins with... am I starting?
Yes.
Awesome. You worry that some of your sexual fantasies might be a little perverse. Do you repress these thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Oh, young hearts run free.
I'll answer this because there are a few that I've not yet explored. No, I don't suppress them. However, I do suppress the severity of it depending on what it is. For instance, I look at Yiffy porn. For those that don't know.
Furry porn.
Yiffy, it's furry porn. Or
anthropomorphized animals.
I've heard about these.
Okay. The most common, the easiest way to explain it is, think of things like Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse, where they're animals, but they've been made into human characteristics, such as they stand on 2 feet and they walk and talk. And basically,
so it's not a person in a suit?
No.
No, that's furryism.
Okay.
But Yiffy is more just the cartoonized version of it.
But generally, they've got overemphasized secondary sexual characteristics, so the female ones would have ginormous tits.
Mm.
while the male ones would have big pecs and a giant bulge. And
okay.
Yeah, so that's Yiffy. The thought of actually taking it any further would then be getting into either one of two things, bestiality or furryism, which is actually doing the whole big fursuit. Now, I know I don't want to physically do it, but the thought of it has plagued my mind on occasion. So it's a question of, it's there. You don't want to deny it, but talking about it with like-minded people, you find very difficult. I'd assume the same would be for you if you were, you know, talking necessarily about fisting or piss play or all those sorts of things that the general public, they're still very taboo or
I've made
secluded.
A rule for myself of just saying it. Because I'm in a position where I've had my foot in my mouth so many times that I've said things on either TV shows or radio shows where people know way too many things about me. So I just keep letting it fly. So I don't go with the repressing I used to because I was worried what people would think of me. Mm. And then I stopped giving a shit about what people think of me. So I didn't need to.
Yeah. There's a time and a place for everything, and it's called Club 80.
Not exactly it.
Not for everything.
No.
But I don't like to clean everything up.
But it's not so much suppressing it, but speaking about it with people who you know are more likely to be open about the topic than more shy away from it.
So you're not repressing it?
No.
You know, not at all. Like, you're not shying it away in your mind, you're just not telling your mum.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah. What about you? You didn't actually answer the question.
if we get my opinion, we'll be going on for another 5 minutes. But
okay, yes.
I've known people that have been turned on by the idea of jacking off dogs. There are some other people that are into people that are much younger to them. I suppose the label of pedophile would apply to them. That I think that there are some situations where it might be best to just try and repress it.
Yeah, but do you like jacking off dogs and playing with younger children? It's specific to you. That we would hope that pedophiles would repress
it. I don't think
feelings.
Any of my desires are particularly perverse.
You're cool.
But if I... It depends, answer. My answer is depends.
On what the...
Because even some of the most deviant desires are sometimes rather accepted in some spaces. But there are some that are rejected in practically all spaces.
You have a way of saying a lot of things but saying nothing.
I'm like a good politician.
It's a skill. It's a very good skill.
I love it. Alrighty, next question. While dancing at a Christmas party, your mate's boss makes a pass at you. Do you tell your mate?
I'd go with the boss.
Ditto.
But should I tell my friend? Yeah, I might brag about it afterwards.
Ditto.
We have no scruples at all.
No, clearly. We need someone virginal.
All right, my turn. You're divorcing and must split your assets with your ex. He doesn't know the true extent of your wealth. Do you disclose it?
No!
No, only split that which you know and are aware of.
Excellent. We've made ourselves rather clear.
Yeah.
Look,
let the other person hang out to dry.
Yeah, not let them hang out to dry, but don't give them all access to your shit. If they don't know about it, well, you had a pretty fucked up relationship to begin with if you're in a divorce situation. The whole 50-50 split thing never works out well.
Okay, next topic. Thank you.
The next topic is actually something that we've been alluding to on our blogs, and that is one of three things. The first one is the nominations for the Best of Bears 2009 are still open, and current nominations will be closing as of the 15th of November. So, as everybody else has been saying, please, can you nominate the Cubby House as part of the nominations? Because we've been really trying over the last year to bring you both an informative and educational, as well as entertaining podcast. So we'd hope you appreciate that and make your voice known. Having also said that, Jack, yourself, is now one of the nominations for the Best Bear of the Year.
Hooray!
Yay!
Bow down before me, bitches, for I am your queen. All right, I'm not going to win now. Yeah, shit.
All the links and everything else will be at the end of the podcast, where we'll be reminding you. The second thing is the Cubby House logo and icon art competition. We are looking at redesigning both our web space and looking to do some other artwork, such as T-shirts and our podcast artwork, to be redesigned. So we're actually asking you to design one of two art pieces. The first one will be a T-shirt design. Personally, we'd like something cartoonic that represents us in, as well as what the Cubby House is. So we'd like your opinion of that, as well as an icon design, which will then become the face of our podcast icon on the actual files and scattered around the website in various forms. Now, the competition closes on the 18th of December, which we'll be making our decisions and announcing it on the December Den Night at the Lead, and then they'll allow to be publicised and used throughout the next few events. Now, we will also be posting the top 10 nominations out of the shortlist, which we will pick, and then we pick our favourite one out of that 10. So, but even if you are a runner-up, your artwork will still be publicised on our website. That is at thecubbyhouse.net.au. So please, if you've got any submissions, we'll be accepting them until the 18th of December, which you can email podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au.
We need some real mail. I'm tired of all the spam coming in and no real mail.
I agree. Like, I get it as well, and it's just annoying. And finally, the last events that we've organised so far is on the 31st of January. We've got our third debate organised, which we're getting together the banner for. It is at the Glass House with Dean. Hello.
Yay.
We're also...
You're just available for whenever we need you, really.
I know. Well, that's going to be a crazy time, Midsummer. It's basically 1 week I'm doing one show. Next week I'm doing Cubby House. Week after I'm doing Speed Dating.
Oh, nice.
You're a very active person.
I try.
We've also got Kay Sarah and a new queen to the stands in our debate. It is Miss Polly Filler.
I don't think we've mentioned what the topic is for this for the next podcast.
Well,
next,
of course. That is debate. Because we're getting all these queens together because it will be about queens. It is that we should stand by our queens.
We must polish our tiaras.
Stand by our queens.
Yes, get all the glitter and the gloss.
Totally.
So, yes, that will be our next debate at the Glass House on the 31st of January. Stay tuned because there will be more notices closer to the event.
Hooray!
Yay! That is the end of Act 1. Stay tuned for Act 2 as it contains...
When I said brandishing, you didn't think it would be that, did you? You would throw things at them and hide behind the curtain?
I would probably try and hide somewhere and throw things at them.
Suck it up, bitch, and do it.
Suck it up, bitch, do it.
No. I'm getting me some woman.
Please be sure to nominate the Cubby House for the Best of Bears 2009 Awards as competition nominations close on November 15. To enter, go to bit.ly/2009bears. As always, if you'd like to shoot us some feedback, ask Ryan what he's been up to, or just boost our egos that have been missing all the podcasting as much as you have, shoot us an email at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. And check out our website, thecubbyhouse.net.au, for our blogs, previous shows, and upcoming event details. Catch you next show
in Act 2.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.